Alright, so I believe that when we last had our class that we were somewhat in the middle of discussion of the first line of the bracha of Hashiva Shoftenu. So we were discussing the distinction between we have Yoatzenu Kevatchila, we have Shoftenu Kevarishona, and Yoatzenu Kevatchila. We're discussing what the difference is between a Shofet and a Yoetz, and why one of them is Barishona and one of them is Kevatchila. So I think we discussed the first two points. We discussed the Sifsei Chaim and the Avnei Eliyahu. Wanted to mention two more small-ish points. So the first one is the Malbim. The Malbim is commentary to Yeshaya, which is the source of this bracha. I don't think we discussed this yet. Does this sound familiar? Okay. So basically, the Malbim says that a shofet refers to civil law. It's medini. It's governmental law. It's referring to the societal civil law. And a shofet can be good or bad. You could still be called a shofet. You could be a shofet who's good. You could be a shofet who's bad. Someone who is a corrupt leader in terms of civil law, in terms of that kind of authority. So even if they are bad, they're still called a shofet. They're a bad shofet, but they're still called a shofet. We had shoftim who were corrupt. So that's a shofet is in the area of more civil law, and they could be good or bad. Then you have a yoetz, says the Malbim. A yoetz is in all areas of life, but a yoetz, literally means an advisor, someone giving advice. Is the word, the term yoetz, or the label, the title yoetz, by definition is only someone who's positive, someone who's giving good advice. Bad advice is not called eitzah; it's called a michshol. You're placing a stumbling block in front of someone. That someone who's if you are giving bad advice, you're not a yoetz, you're a machshil. So says the Malbim, that's the reason for the difference in the words here. That a shofet, the shoftim are barishona, bring back the shoftim like they were at first, because there were other shoftim who followed, who were not good. There was a shnia, there was a shofet who was a rishona, who was good, and there was the shofet who was shnia, there was the shoftim who followed, who were not necessarily good. The yoetz, the advisor, is batchila, because there was no shnia, there was no second who wasn't good. As soon as they weren't good, as soon as they weren't leading the people in a good way, as soon as they weren't giving good advice, so they weren't yoatzim, they weren't advisors. So the request is like we had at the beginning, because they weren't first. They were only. It didn't last. It didn't stay that the yoatzim, that the leaders of the Yisrael in that area. It didn't last that the yoatzim who are guiding in all areas of life, giving people counsel and guidance, that they were always good. But as soon as they weren't good, they were no longer under the category of yoatzim. And therefore, it needs to be returned. There needs to be that needs to be brought back. But it was never corrupted. There was never a shnia. There was never a second. There was never a bad yoetz. And therefore, the yoatzim be returned kibatchila, like they were at the beginning, not like they were at first, which implies that there was a second and a third, but like they were at the beginning, as opposed to the shoftim, the first shoftim were good, and then there were following who are not as good, and therefore we want specifically Kibarishona, like the first shoftim, like the earliest shoftim, as opposed to the shoftim who followed them. Last point on this line, we'll move on. The Kotzker Rebbe said that it's a famous idea, but you apply it over here in the pasuk, shoftim v'shochim titnu l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. that you should place shoftim, the shotrim, judges and officers at all of your, in place for yourself at all of your gates. So the Kotzker said that the pasuk, you know, literally is referring to actual bate dinim, but is also referring to place for yourself means that you should be a judge over yourself, that you should place judgment over yourself, through you should be in control of yourself, you should set yourself as you should place boundaries for yourself, you should be in control of yourself. So the Kotzker said that applying the same idea that shoftim b'chol sha'arecha, that a shofet is also represents guidance or direction, leadership in your personal lives. And that he says that it should be kibarishona, it should be like at first, says it should, that at first refers to at the womb, back when you were in the womb, when you only had a Yetzer Tov, that then our shoftim, our guidance, our authority was entirely the authority of the Yetzer Tov. That was the only force within a person exerting any authority, so that we daven that our shofet over ourselves, our rulership over ourselves should return to like what it was kibar yishona, when we were in the womb at the first point of our life, that when it was purely under the jurisdiction of the Yetzer Tov. And then a yoetz, he says, is referring to nationally, that's for Klal Yisrael, and that should be kibatchila, should be like it was at the beginning of our history, that should be return the shoftim like they were at that point of our history. Alright, small points, fine. So the next line of the bracha, v'haser mimenu yagon v'anacha. So in remove from us yagon v'anacha, strife and suffering, something along those lines. So a number of ideas, what exactly this means, what it has to do with this bracha, how it fits in. So start with chronologically the Avudram, the earliest. So the Avudram says that he's two explanations. One, he says very basic idea. He says that, you know, the Rishayim, the evildoers, so they're called evildoers because they do evil, right? They're causing problems. And that, you know, they create problems for you. People suffer at the hands of Rishayim. And the Shoftim will come and they will get rid of the Rishayim when judgment and order is restored. So then the wicked will be stopped and they'll be punished and they'll be they'll put an end to the source of the strife, to the source of the Yagon V'Anacha. So returning the Shoftim removes the Yagon V'Anacha. The return of the Shoftim results in Raseri Menu Yagon V'Anacha. It's through Hashiva Shoftenu, through returning the Shoftim, that then they will execute judgment against the Rishayim, they'll restore order and put things back into balance, and through that there will be no more Yagon V'Anacha, because we'll remove the source, remove the sore thorn that's causing the suffering. Second explanation that Avudram says that Yagon V'Anacha says comes from internal disagreements. Is that people are when people, by internal I mean within a person, but in interpersonal disagreements, that when people have a disagreement, so there's suffering, there's a certain anguish which comes from a person having a lack of clarity of what's theirs and what's not theirs, what they're supposed to have. There's a certain pain of a person thinking that they're not getting what they're supposed to get, a feeling like they're being shortchanged, feeling like they're being cheated. So there's Yagon V'Anacha from the lack of clear guidelines of what's supposed to happen in this situation. That the person who feels like they're not getting what they deserve, they're not getting what's coming to them, so that causes a certain anguish, that causes a certain pain. The din comes, Hashiva Shoftenu, comes the Beis Din who is able to absolutely resolve all of these issues accurately and conclusively, and they're mevare, they clarify what each person deserves, what's come to each person, and they make shalom between people, they resolve the disputes, and through that they make shalom within the person, that the person then is able to realize that what he is supposed to have, what's his and what's not his, and is able to appreciate what his lot, what belongs to him, and where his place is, and what's where he's supposed to be. We mentioned previously, I think, the Maharal, who says that the idea of shalom is the result of each thing being in its proper place. And the Maharal explained that's why Neros, of the Shabbos candles, bring shalom. The shalom bias is through the Shabbos candles, because when you have the light and you're able to place each thing where it's supposed, that's with the light that you're able to put each thing where it's supposed to be, see each thing as it is, and have everything properly placed, that's the source of shalom. That's when everything is where it's supposed to be, everything is bimkomo, that's when you have shalom. So the dayanim, they're able to put everything where it's supposed to be, to resolve everything such that everything is the way that it's supposed to be, everything rests in its proper place. And there, so for, with din, each person has what he's supposed to have, and therefore there is shalom. So restoring the din, restoring Hashiva Shoftenu, restores that internal, it removes that internal conflict that a person has, the discomfort, the lack of being settled with not knowing exactly where he's supposed to be. That din comes and it puts that each person is able to recognize and realize exactly what is theirs and be able to come to shalom. The Yaros Devash from Yonas and Eibschitz, so he explains that there's really a metaphysical connection between the return of din and the removal of of anguish, of suffering. So that Chazal tell us that Ivos Hadin, that the corruption of judgment brings about Koronios, that the heavenly punishment, the heavenly response to corruption of din is tragedy. That tragedy is a result, is a spiritual response to the sin, to the so what I'm looking for is a response to the infraction of Ivos Hadin, of corruption of judgment, and appointing proper dayanim, that appointing dayanim kshirim brings bracha. So says the Yaros Devash, that as long as we have corrupt judges, we have yagon v'anacha as a result, as a response to the corruption of din. The heavenly reaction to that is Puranos come to the world, and therefore there's yagon v'anacha as a spiritual response to the fact that there is no din being done. Once the dayanim kshirim are installed, once the din is restored properly, that we have the Hashiva Shoftenu Kevar Rishona, we have the dayanim who were executing judgment l'shem shemayim, with the correct, proper way, without corruption, without ulterior motives. So the yagon the yagon v'anacha, the suffering, the anguish is removed, because all the things that cause suffering, they're gonna stop, because they're being brought about as a punishment for the corruption of judgment, and once that is fixed, so then the Puranos will stop also. The Iyun Tefillah, so he a slightly less direct not less direct connection, but basically the idea, he says that it's not referring to that the people who are being afflicted will be removed from their affliction. It's not referring to that that someone is, you know, being harmed and they'll stop being harmed. He says as follows. He says that in the world without din, without mishpat, without the shoftim as in the proper place, that there are all kinds of corruptions, all kinds of misdeeds that happens, all kinds of injustice which is carried out, and it goes without punishment, without response. The tzaddikim who are in each generation, they witness this, and they're disturbed by the toevos, they're disturbed by the abominations which they have to witness and which they have to live with. It bothers them when they see Hashem's will being violated. A real tzaddik is someone who isn't just interested in himself. It bothers him the fact that that Ratzon Hashem is not being followed. When you look at the world and you see all of the injustice and all of the lack of Kavod Shemayim in the world, so that brings him suffering. He's a real Ohev Hashem, a real Ohev. The Rambam writes this, so the others, that a real Ohev, if you really love someone, you want others to love them also. And so the tzaddikim will really love Hashem, so they want everyone to love. And it bothers them when they see the disregard, the lack of the Kavod of Shemayim in the world, and that disturbs them, it bothers them, it causes them pain. Din, when justice is restored, when Mishpat is restored, it brings menucha, it brings comfort to the tzaddikim from this anguish of being forced to witness a world in which Kavod Shemayim is trampled on. That it removes that suffering, the yagon v'anacha that comes from being forced to see a world in which Ratzon Hashem is flouted. And the restoration of Mishpat removes that suffering. The last idea.
The presumption there is that the people are all accepting and respectful of the Shoftim's decisions.
What do you mean?
Well, if someone, if people are disagreeing and the Shoftim does favor A versus person B, person B, if he has the proper respect for the Shoftim and say okay, and you say so, I'll give in. Or but if it's not, then you could just make person B less respectful of the Shoftim.
Okay, right. I guess the assumption is that when we have real Shoftim reinstated, so someone who is doing Averas is going to be punished for it. And either they'll stop because they don't want to get punished anymore, or they'll keep doing it and eventually they'll, be put to death. But so I guess at the end of the day that there will be however it's going to come about, but that the reinstatement of real Mishpat will lead to which kind of somewhat, this is the segue into the next bracha, is that we have Hashiva Shoftinu, and then we have Elam Al Shinim Al Tehi Sikva, because once the reinstatement of Mishpat will lead to the elimination of evildoers, either because they'll just be forced to, or because the reinstatement of real Dayanim will, bring them to a realization of, what they should really be doing. Yeah, those kinds of role models, that kind of models set up they'll be brought to do teshuva. Alright, the last point. The Chasam Sofer, in a much more creative reading of the bracha. So the Chasam Sofer says the word mimenu, v'aser mimenu yagon v'anacha, the word mimenu in Hebrew can mean from us, but the same word mimenu also means from him. And says the Chasam Sofer that mimenu means from him, aser mimenu, remove from him, yagon v'anacha, suffering. And he says that who's him is referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that reinstate the din in Mishpat, and remove from Hashem the yagon v'anacha, the anguish that Hashem goes through, because we in the ima anochi v'tzara, that Hashem kibayachol, Hashem as it were, he joins in when we suffer, that he joins in the suffering from the ibos adin, corruption that we're suffering through, that we're subjected to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, puts himself into that tzar with us, and therefore the removal of ibos adin, the removal of the reinstatement of Mishpat, is also going to be removing that yagon v'anacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who doesn't want to see us suffering, who doesn't and wants to have it removed also. Alright, so the next line in the bracha, Umloch aleinu ata Hashem levadcha b'chesed rachamim, that and you Hashem should rule over us, you alone should rule over us. I saw somewhere an explanation of this line that understood it as a separate idea, that it's, you know, return the judges, Kabbal Yishona, reinstate, you know, the Sanhedrin and the Din and the way it's supposed to be. And in the meantime, you know, while we're not Zocha to have the judges, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you rule over us. I saw another idea which kind of saw this line as somewhat of like a disclaimer or a modification of the previous line, that we say that Hashiva Shoftinu Kevar Yishona, that return the judges, and like return the Mishpat, the Sanhedrin, but even so, even though we're going to have the Sanhedrin back, despite that fact, Rochalinu Tasham Levadcha, that you, Hashem, should still rule over us. So I think that both of those explanations, I think, are a little bit off, one more than the other, but I think that this line is not a separate point, and in fact is really the continuation of the same idea, that specifically and most powerfully through the return of Mishpat, we have the most acute expression of Hashem's rulership, that when every detail and aspect of Jewish life is guided by decisions based on Torah and Torah values, so then and only then is it Ata Hashem Levadcha. Then and only then is it you, Hashem, alone are ruling over us, that Hashem alone is ruling over us when Mishpat is being run Al Pi Basin, when there's a Torah society being run by Torah autonomy and Torah authority. So that is the clearest expression of Hashem ruling over us. What it means for Hashem to rule, Hashem alone to rule over us, means that Ratzon Hashem is the only cheshbon, that what Hashem wants is the only calculation, is the only account that we make in how we're living our lives. That's what it means that you, Hashem, alone are ruling over us, means that you're the only value that matters, and what you want is the only thing that that matters, only thing taken into account. That is achieved specifically through the reinstatement of Din and the reinstatement of Mishpat, when society is being run al pi Din Torah, according to the ruts on the will of the Torah. That's when you have the clearest expression of Hashem alone being the one ruling over us. I think that's the simplest understanding of this line, is that it's basically a continuation. That is the logical consequence of that's the significance of having Din returned, is that then Hashem alone is the one who's ruling over us. One other idea, the Kotzker, I don't usually quote the Kotzker at all, and he got in here twice tonight, but so the Kotzker says that there's a risk when you have great leaders. So great leaders can, you know, the obvious benefit, they lead the people in the way that's the best for them, they're capable of achieving great things for the nation. But there's a risk when there is leadership that is so great that they become idolized. And we have, you know, some unfortunate examples of this in our history, you know, maybe in recent history, where, you know, a certain leader of you know, certain sects of Judaism was maybe, you know, a little bit too much emphasis put on that specific person and his persona and his role in the religion or in the movement, and, you know, in certain sense they were unable to move on without him. And there's a certain risk there have been more tragic times in history when there was, you know, a leader who was so, it was such a great leader that the people idolized him and became, you know, somewhat of a value in and of himself, of the leader himself. A much more benign, but I think still, it just doesn't have to be specifically, you know, a national catastrophe where this kind of thing happens. I had, when I was in yeshiva, so Reb Tzvi Berkowitz, you know, an incredible Talmud Chacham, he would answer people's shilas after Maariv. There would basically be a line that formed, and he would be there for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes for people who got in line and asked some questions, and, you know, basically, depending on how close to the beginning of the line you got was your odds of being able to ask him a question. There was a guy who sat near me for davening, and I used to notice that he davened a very long Shmoneh Esrei. He generally did not finish davening before the yeshiva finished davening. He usually davened longer than the time that the yeshiva had allotted. But I noticed that some nights he davened very quickly. And I noticed that what it was some nights he davened very quickly, and then before the yeshiva finished, he went over and he walked over to get to be first in line on nights when he had a question that he wanted to ask Reb Tzvi. So he would cut his davening short, he would daven much faster, and then he would go get first in line to speak to Reb Tzvi. So I saw this as kind of like completely backwards. Like, what are you going to go speak to Reb Tzvi about? You're not, going to ask him about, politics or sports. You're going to talk to him about, some Shaila and Halacha, something about Ratzon Hashem. So what are you doing? You're cutting short your conversation with God because you want to go speak with Reb Tzvi about Torah. Completely backwards. You've idolized Reb Tzvi's opinion above your conversation when you're directly Omid Lifnei Amakom. You're talking Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're cut that short to go, to go speak to your Rebbe. I saw that as totally backwards, as, it's so important to him to speak to his Rebbe that it was more important than speaking to God. I actually, at one point made a very subtle comment about it, and this person jokingly said, yeah, it's a good question. There's this God and there's that God, and I felt like, Avodah Zarah is not really something you should joke about, but it doesn't have to be, national catastrophe to be this problem. You could have someone who's such a great leader that, people, there's some degree of overemphasis on the connection to that person. The person has to realize that our first relationship is to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the leaders are meant to bring us closer to him. The leaders are not there. They're not a value in and of themselves. They're a conduit through which they can help direct us and facilitate our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But the clear focus, the point, is the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So we daven that despite the presence of great leaders, that it should still be Umloch Hashem Ata Umloch Aleinu Ata Hashem Levadcha, that you alone, Hashem alone, should be the one. Even though we have Ashiva Shoftenu Kavar Yishona, we have leaders brought back like the greatest leaders we ever had. We have Moshe and Aaron leading us, but it should be Umloch Aleinu Ata Hashem Levadcha, that you alone, Hashem, are the one who's ruling over us. That we recognize that the true authority and the true leadership belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the ideal that we're trying to connect with. Alright, maybe one more point. So the Mlok Aleinu Ata Hashem Levadcha Bechesed Uverachamim. So what is this idea? You should rule over us with Chesed and Rachamim. So Rabbeinu Yehuda Ben Yakar says that when din is carried out lamata, when you have Beis Din and they are executing the din as it needs to be carried out down here, so then it's not necessary for din to be carried out lamala. The Gemara says that basic idea in like someone who doesn't realize this has a lot of questions on the fairness of Beis Din, but basically Beis Din is backed up with the full security of the heavenly court, meaning that if somebody manages to cheat Beis Din, Beis Din is not set up in an infallible system. So where's the fairness? The fairness is that we believe in God. That if Beis Din messes something up, or if Din is not carried out in Beis Din, so then they'll take care of it in Shemayim. Shemayim will make sure that person gets what they deserve. And so when Din is not being carried out, the Gemara says that now that there's no Dal and Misos Beis Din, it says that a person who did this and this is going to happen to them, Shemayim will arrange that the person gets the Din that they're supposed to get. But when Din is carried out Lamata, when Beis Din is carrying out the Din, then Shemayim has no need to make sure the person deserves what he gets what he deserves. Beis Din makes sure he gets what he deserves. If Beis Din is accurately and faithfully carrying out the din and making sure that what needs to be done is being done, so then Shemayim doesn't have to come from Ramallah to execute the din. It's already being taken care of in the Beis Din Shel Mata. So we are in that, when you have that ideal state, when Hashiva Shoftenu Kevar Yishona, when you have Beis Din taking care of running the, making sure everything is done appropriately, what we're left with is that Hashem only does Chesed V'Rachamim. Hashiva Shoftenu, return our Shoftim, Umloch Aleinu B'Chesed V'Rachamim. Right, return our Shoftim, return Beis Din, and then you Hashem will rule over us with Chesed and Rachamim. That without the Beis Din, so Hashem is ruling over us, Hashem has to do, you know, so to speak, has to do the good cop and the bad cop, right? Hashem is responsible for carrying out the din when it's not carried out down here. But once we have Hashiva Shoftenu, once Mishpat is brought back, so then Hashem is Maloch Aleinu B'Chesed V'Rachamim, then Hashem is our relationship with Shemayim is only Chesed V'Rachamim, because there's no more need for Shemayim to be carrying out, to be picking up the slack of the din which is not being carried out through, which is meant to be carried out in Olam Hazeh through Beis Din down here. Alright, so a couple more points on this point, but we'll continue here when we resume.